I'm joined now by Paul Jacobs. Paul served as a rifleman in the 2nd Battalion, the Rifles, before he was blinded by an IED device in Afghanistan back in 2009. Since then, Paul has been rebuilding his life and taking on many challenges, the latest of which is boxing. And Paul joins me now. Hello, Paul.
Hello there, Barry. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm grand, thank you.
So then, boxing.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit crazy, isn't it?
How did it come about?
Well, it's something I used to do as a kiddie. That, when I was in foster care, and then I did a little bit back in the battalion. I like to always step out of my comfort zone and push myself to the ultimate. And because I'm now completely blind, and I just like to completely just push myself to the ultimate. And if that means jumping in a ring, then let's have a dance.
And you recently had your first fight. Who was that against?
I did have my first fight. That was with my former company sergeant major, Mr. French. And I said to him that if I'm still standing after two rounds of him being able-bodied and fully sighted, then he's got to put a blindfold on for the third. And that's just the way it went. And he tagged me a good few times and my jaw was a bit bruised, but I certainly blackened his eye, so I'm proud of that one.
Paul, we'll get to the boxing again just shortly, but can you tell us about your childhood, please? Because you didn't have the easiest of times growing up.
Well, I was in foster care and children's home, so I'm an orphan. So I was brought up between sunny South London, a Lambeth boy by birth, and I was sort of, if you like, dragged up down towards Kent, the Kent coast, a place called Margate, Ramsgate, towards Dover way. So yeah, that's yeah.
And I believe you get in a little bit of trouble as well before you kind of harnessed your energy towards the forces.
I was influenced by the wrong people.
So I guess the army was a way of channeling that youthful energy.
The army for me was more than just what you just quoted there. It was somewhere for me to get food, it was somewhere for me to get paid, and it was somewhere for me to become a man. So, you know, I was a little boy pretending to be a man, and then I was in a man's world, so I had to become a man. It's not quite the same as a butling strip, you know what I mean? You need more than just a bucket and spade.
Yeah,
I enjoyed Afghanistan, it's what I was trained to do. And am I sorry for what's happened to me? I will never know, because I will never know where my career was going to go. But, you know, I love the life that I live now, and, you know, my personal motto is you don't need to have vision, so it is what it is.
Can you take us back to that day, Paul? The day that would change everything for you?
Yeah, it was basically my last patrol. I was acting as a 2IC for my platoon commander, and we had an attachment teaching them a really famous road in Afghan called Pharmacy Road. And somehow the surgeons had IED'd the track again, and I wasn't Valen Man that day, which is the man finding the IEDs. I was acting as 2IC to my platoon commander on the ground, and unfortunately a young man, Private Jonathan Young, was killed. He was only 19. And I tried to assist the recovery of his body, if you like, and I ended up on top of what they call a daisy chain, an IED, so that IED's connected. And my platoon sergeant, Mr. Paul McAleese, Sergeant Paul McAleese, he tried to assist me, but unfortunately he triggered a device that pretty much killed him and then injured me in the process of trying to recover Mr. Jonathan Young, Private Young, body.
You were to be awarded a George Medal for bravery, and if you don't mind, I'd quite like to read out the citation. This is from the Blind Veterans website. His sheer personal courage and startling determination, unswerving courage, selflessness, devotion to duty and dedication to his comrades was faultless. That's quite an accolade.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're lying in hospital. Your troubles were just about to start. Because, as well as the blindness, you would also be diagnosed with PTSD.
That's correct. I suffered really bad with PTSD to the point of not actually suicide, but the thoughts of suicide, and they were very brutal in my mind.
Paul, if you can even put it into words, what is having PTSD like?
It's dark. You don't want to get out of bed, and I felt I'm a 6'2" man. I'm weighing in at 18 stone, and I'm a solid, big build, and I felt like a little boy trapped inside.
Did you have flashbacks?
I've had many flashbacks, yeah. Wow. The sweats and the tight chest and, yeah.
So I imagine that would be one of the lowest points of your life. How did you start to rebuild things? I know Blind Veterans played a key role.
Blind Veterans did play a key role, you're quite right there. And they're a fantastic organisation and they've got well over 100 years of experience from going right back to the First World War. So that's been passed down through the chain of command and our forefathers that have gone before, whether you're a blind veteran or war blinded, to assist in the PTSD side of it, or whether it's the physical side of it. But for me, I did things a bit wrong, because go back to 2010, I thought life was just about achievement, 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 but it wasn't. What I needed to do was accept. And once I had accepted, my achievements were so much more better.
Now, Paul, from talking to you on and off air, you've got a really good outlook on life. And when you were in hospital going through these horrendous things, even then something good came of it. You actually married the nurse that was helping you. Can you talk about that, Paul?
Oh, she was a gleaming girl. She was a real lovely lass. Yeah, she was a real caring, you know. We're still friends now, but unfortunately with divorce. But that's only because I didn't understand who I was, and we were both young and all that, and she's moved on, but we're still friends, and we're still close, and we have a son together. But I had to go off and accept who I was and the man I'm going to be and that I am today. It was love, but it was love in a different sense. It was love that we just needed each other at that moment in time, and it's very hard to explain it, but yeah, no, it's good. It's okay the way it's worked out, you know, because she's with her fella, and he's a real nice fella. He's a squaddy, and you know, he takes care of my kids, so I'm blessed to have somebody that's looking after Louise. And
yeah, so you would go on, Paul, to volunteer with the charity Blind Veterans and then take on a whole host of challenges. You've even climbed Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, I've done my marathons, my triathlons, climbed Killy, the DW, Devised to Westminster, 125 miles, 24 hours, parachute jumps. Had a number 2 record with the Invictus Choir, which I co-wrote. The first British War Blinded to stand at the Royal Albert Hall and do a citation, which I wrote in front of Her Royal Highness, Her Majesty the Queen and the Royal Family, etc., etc. Yeah, I've done a few things. Been a 21st Century War Poet by David Dimbleby on the BBC. Yeah, I've done some crazy stuff over these last decades, I suppose.
What motivates you to do all these things, Paul?
What motivates me? Well, first and foremost is that there's people out there that would still bleed for the red in the Union Jack. Mm-hmm. And that's me. And I'm a very proud man. You know, I'm a very proud British man as well. And at the moment, there's too much politics going on in this world where we don't believe in who we are. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to get into it, but, you know, I served this country. I lost my sight for this country, this land. And it's a good land that we live on. Mm. It's just the people that are getting it wrong with their attitude at the moment. But, you know, I would still bleed for the red in the Union Jack. And I'm a very proud British man.
So that brings us to the boxing. Why did you decide to start boxing? I know not everybody was in favour of it. What are your reasons for doing it, Paul?
No, you're right. Not everybody was in favour of the boxing because, one, how I have had a head injury and the fact that I'm completely blind and people could step in the ring and take complete advantage of me. But for me, there's 2 points to the boxing. It's that, yes, I've got incredibly huge heart to step into the ring, first of all. And I want to show people that I'm still a man and I can still do things like any other average man. And the other thing is that I'm proving to the world that, you know, with my disability, I can still carry the fight and I can still carry on fighting. And it's not necessarily punching people in the face or getting punched in the face. It's just proving that every day is a fight with PTSD, with a blindness, whether you're a triple amputee, an amputee, or whether you're diabetic or a cancer, whatever your disability is. And let's change that word now, shall we? It's not disability, it's just a different ability, you know? I'm getting in there just trying to prove a point that everybody fights, and the fight doesn't have to be a physical fight. Sometimes it's a mental fight.
Now, you mentioned potential head knocks, head injuries, your lack of sight. You would like to see more blind people take this up. How would you sell that to anyone that's listening that thinks, well, that's interesting, but, oh, it sounds a bit dangerous?
Well, if you've got a head injury, then obviously you've got to go seek professional advice. You know what I mean? But if you've been born with no head injuries, then what's the difference whether you're born with sight or no sight at all and you want to get in there and just have a bit of milling and a bit of a move around? As long as you know the person you're moving around with, it's a pair of gloves, it's a head guard, and just get in there and have fun. And if that's what you want to do, then happy days. Why should anybody stop you trying to conquer your own dreams?
And also there will be some safety elements. There will be strong
Absolutely,
refereeing
100%.
And nobody's going to be allowed to take too much punishment.
Absolutely, 100%.
But it's recognising that there is risks.
Absolutely, but there is risks. And, you know, if you have had a head injury, then I wouldn't advise it. But, you know, if you've been born completely blind all your life and you want to get in the ring and have a move around, then who's to stop you?
And you were also telling me, Paul, that you would like to arrange some kind of benefit match to raise awareness with boxing legend Tyson Fury.
So, my dream next year, if I could touch base and move around with Tyson Fury, I think that would be an amazing thing for an expedition to raise a lot of money for mental health. One, for the sector that I'm in, which is the military veteran, and raising money for somewhere like combat stress. And then Tyson Fury could raise money for civilian mental health. And I just think if we got in there, moved around for a couple of minutes, blindfold on, blindfold off, and then both sat down and both spoke about our our points to the bottom and climbing the ladder again. We're both the same age and we're both champions in our own rights. Like every man and woman out there is a champion in their own right. It's just that, you know, you've got to make your own changes to become an even bigger and better champion.
Paul, if anyone is listening that's going through tough times themselves, whether it be with their eyesight or post-traumatic stress, what advice would you give to them?
My advice to other blind veterans or civilian blind or people who are suffering with mental health would be, remember, tomorrow is another day. There's always going to be a sunset and a sunrise. And talking is a key part in helping. And for those who are visually impaired or blind, listen to the motto, you don't need sight to have vision. You know, the world is your complete and utter oyster. You can go out and grab anything. The dreams and the choices are out there. And there's so many charities that will assist. But if you are feeling down in the dumps, find somebody you can talk to, really engage with, whether that's the church, whether it's a mosque, whether it's the temple, whatever your religion or your faith is, or whether it's just something down the road. Get it off your chest, because once it's out there in the open, you know what I mean, you can move on.
And just finally, Paul, what's next for you? Is there any challenges around the corner?
Next for me is, well, there's a couple next year. There's the DW in April, which is Devizes to Westminster, 125 miles in 24 hours in a kayak. That's a Guinness World Record, which I'll smash that. Then I'm going to do the Edinburgh Marathon, the London Marathon, and I would have had two punch-ups by then as well, another two boxing matches by then as well.
Well, Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I could listen to you all day. Thanks for being so honest with me, and good luck with all your many ventures next year and your boxing.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Barry.